persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. The Brain Massage Show radiates the mind with truth, releasing thought antibodies that attack and destroy lies. Stay tuned. The Brain Masseur is ready to massage your brain.
Hello, I'm Jeffrey Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage.
Truth. Served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
Hey folks, I'm loving this primary process. I mean, it's all getting out there, isn't it? Aren't you glad to live in a country where we get to participate so much in the choosing of our leaders? Love it. Now, having said that, we've got the president-elect visiting a mosque that is part of the Islamic Society of North America, ISNA, noteworthy as having been an unindicted co-conspirator in the 08 Holy Land Foundation terror case. Several executives of this group were convicted of sending money to aid the terrorist group called Hamas. Now, of all the mosques to pick for his rant against Islamophobia, he picks this one. But, of course, the imam of this mosque has been a member of the Muslim Brotherhood and has worked for an Islamic relief group identified as a terrorist organization by the Treasury Department back in 04. And on we can go. And at this event, Obama found it necessary to chastise Americans again for being Islamophobic and called on Christians to let Jesus deliver them from their prejudice by overcoming their fear. You know, all of this coming in response to Trump and others calling for a moratorium on all Muslim immigration until we can find a way to vet them properly to make sure some from ISIS aren't sneaking in. So here's the deal. Apparently, Obama equates any concern we express about radical Islam as being acts of prejudice against all Islam. And so my question is, does our Muslim president know something we don't? I mean, is there really no difference between the radical Islam and Islam? Okay, I know. You want me to tell you whether I think Cruz lied about Carson dropping out of the race. We've got Sandra Merritt arrested. Now, who's that, you say? Well, Sandra Merritt worked with the group that did the sting operation on Planned Parenthood that got the videos proving that Planned Parenthood has long been involved in selling baby body parts. Now, she's the main whistleblower that blew their cover. And so the Harris County DA, who has her hands deep in the pockets of Planned Parenthood and charged with investigating this whole business, decides to indict the whistleblower instead of the perpetrators. And we're talking about, did Cruz lie about Carson quitting? So let's see. Trump's record is not of interest to us. You know, the fact that he supported Obama bailouts, and I want to know if Trump believes it's okay to murder a baby because its father committed rape, and I want to know if Trump still believes it's okay to use the government to take away a man's private property so he can use it to build a skyscraper. I want to know when Trump is going to be held to account for his repeated statements that he wants, you know, a Bernie Sanders-Hillary-style national health care in place to replace Obamacare. And I want to know why any of us should believe what he says about taking care of the borders and getting immigration under control when everyone knows he is, what did Carter say about him? He is malleable, given to change.
Bible thump alert. Bible thump alert.
Quote, meddle not with them that are given to change, for their calamity shall rise suddenly, end quote. That's Proverbs 24, 21, 22. And, well, okay, I know, Trump does not want to talk about Iowa anymore. He does not want to continue his anti-Cruz rant. Really? Okay, well, he has called Cruz a liar, a hypocrite, said he's a big fat liar, said he's a nasty guy. And Rubio says the same kind of thing about Cruz. He says he is willing to say or do anything to get elected. And that's, by the way, because Cruz exposes Rubio's record with the Gang of Eight and his past statements regarding path to citizenship, legalization, and all that. All true, by the way. All part of the record. And now Carson is angry at Cruz because he believes Cruz lied about Carson quitting the race. You want to know what the problem is with Cruz? He's like Joseph, who gave his father the evil report against his brothers. Genesis 37:2, and Joseph brought into his father their evil report. Perfect, that's it. Cruz is hated by his fellow conservatives because he keeps bringing to the voters their evil report. He exposes the truth about these guys, and that makes them crazy because they can't hide their record with Cruz around, so they want to sell him off to the Ishmaelites. Oh, wow. They want to throw him into a ditch, you know? You better be careful. God is the one who elevated Joseph. And if he chooses, he'll elevate Cruz, too. So we don't want to talk about Trump's chumps. You know, some of you newbies to the Brain Massage radio show and podcast show need to learn to pay closer attention. I used the expression Trump's chumps in the title of my last show, and some of you got real squirmy. Hey, I'm not calling Trump's followers chumps. He is. Yeah, that's right. Trump thinks his followers are a bunch of chumps. He never said that. Liar, liar, liar. Trump never called us chumps. Really? He said you're so blinded by his personality and by your devotion to him that there's nothing he could do that would cause you to turn from him. He said he could shoot someone on the streets of Manhattan and you'd vote for him anyway. Now, maybe you don't know the meaning of the word chump, but my friend, that fits. The word is believed to be a blend of chunk and lump or stump of wood. In Webster's 1828, we find that it is a short, thick, heavy piece of wood less than a block. And later it came to be used to identify somebody who was a blockhead. Someone who was about as aware as a log. Here, let me help you out. From a contemporary dictionary, chump, a foolish or easily deceived person, quote unquote. Trump thinks you are easily manipulated, controlled, owned by him, that you don't think for yourselves. You're a true devotee, and nothing he could do could ever cause you to see him for what he is or to turn your vote away from him. Now that I think about it, really, every conservative blindly following Trump, refusing to look at his record, is indeed a chump. So there, I said it. You know, if I first coined that little phrase, I was offended on your behalf that Trump would think so lowly of you Trump supporters. And now that I've looked more carefully at this, it actually fits perfectly. Any conservative supporting Trump, swallowing his, you know, I'm going to repeal and replace Obamacare without bothering to press him on what he's going to replace it with, well, you're a chump, because his answer is socialized health care. Any conservative who is buying his sudden conversion to conservatism without challenging him to own up to his statement that he believes government can take over private business is, by definition, a chump. I mean, you're certainly one of Trump's chumps, and I'm hoping you'll wake up and dump Trump. Look, we need to blow away all the fog surrounding Trump and Rubio, by the way. Can we just get honest here? Can we at some point just simply look at the record and just take it for what it is and for what it tells us? Palin falls in behind Trump, and so many think that's a statement that Trump must be conservative if Palin likes him. What? Give me a break. Sarah's a party gal. Always has been. Need I remind you she supported Meg Whitman here in California, a pro-choice government pay-for-abortion candidate for governor in California? Santorum, Huckabee, and Paul all drop out of the race. Now, Santorum and Huckabee throw in behind Rubio? You've got to be kidding me. Talk about someone who would say anything to get elected. I mean, really, Rubio's on record for supporting amnesty. I heard him say he believes homosexuality is biologically determined. I mean, he, at least back then, accepted the born-that-way lie. That, by the way, undermines everything else he's saying otherwise on the issue. It's equivalent to a pro-lifer who accepts the rape and incest exceptions. And here we have in Cruz a candidate that is genuinely, authentically pro-life, pro-traditional marriage, consistent on the immigration issue, uncompromising on core conservative values down the line, who has articulated a plan for addressing America's problems that, by the way, no one has even tried to contest. Everyone hearing it agrees with it or sees that it's plausible. Every conservative agrees with virtually all of the policies Cruz has articulated. But Huckabee and Santorum go for establishment second-string darling Rubio. What does that tell you about Santorum and Huckabee? Look, there is a reason the GOP aristos are looking to Rubio as an alternative to Cruz or Trump. And it is not because Rubio is such a staunch conservative. It's because Rubio has played ball with the establishment before. Gang of Eight, anyone? He certainly is not their first pick. They want Jeb. But he is their second-string pick. And there is a reason for that. Let's see what Paul does. Now, so far, he has refused to declare himself in support of any of the candidates. But anyway, you still want me to say whether I believe Cruz stole Carson's votes in Iowa? You think I'm dodging the question? I'm not avoiding it. I simply think we have other more important things. Look, we're facing 4 to 8 more years of Obama Marxist Muslimism. At some point, we need to start, you know, really looking at the record of these men and what they have said and what they are saying about the issues. Okay. Yeah, I get it. Integrity is important. And I agree. If Cruz purposely floated a lie hours before the caucuses opened, intending to siphon off Carson's votes, well, that's just wrong. Okay? The question is this, however. Do I believe Cruz lowered himself to political chicanery to edge out a win in Iowa? All right. Let's look at this thing. And the first thing is, I really like Carson. Now, he's a beloved guy, a good guy. I like him. But look, Carson lost his support in the immediate aftermath of the Paris terrorist attacks. When our attention was riveted to foreign policy concerns, he fumbled the ball. He could not articulate a clear statement of what he would do about ISIS or about terrorism, and frankly, Cruz recovered the fumble. I think Cruz was the major beneficiary of Carson's voters. But that goes back to last year, my friends, long before Iowa caucuses opened up. And really, is Carson for real? Well, I mean, what is with the leaked storyline that he was going to Florida to change clothes rather than to go on to New Hampshire and South Carolina? You are aware, I'm sure by now, that this whole mess started when a Carson staffer informed a CNN reporter that Carson was not going to New Hampshire or South Carolina, but instead was going to Florida for a few days of R&R. Later, when this whole thing went sideways, the Carson campaign was contacted, and they issued a formal statement to the effect that Carson was not leaving the race. He was simply going home to get a change of clothes. What? But the central question is, did Cruz lie? Is Trump right? Is Cruz a big fat liar? Did he steal the election? Is Carson right that this brings into question Cruz's integrity? First, let me begin by admitting to all of you that I intended to come to my microphone today and say, Huckabee, Santorum, Paul, who's next? Carson? Yeah. And at that time, by the way, I had heard nothing about his decision to take a brief hiatus in Florida before continuing his campaign in New Hampshire and South Carolina. And I'm glad, sort of, that all of this has got out because I'm sure I'd be called a liar, a big fat liar, and blamed for engaging in campaign rigging. Well, I mean, that vote is already over, but you know what I mean. Have you been following the Carson campaign? It's dying. It has been in a long swan song, really, since last November. And by the way, I'm certainly not crowing about that. I like Carson. I've said it 1,000 times. I like him a whole lot better than Rubio, Trump, or Bush. The problem I noticed with Carson early on, and spoke to it a couple of times, is that, well, actually, two things. First, you know, he simply comes across as a sweetie pie. I'm sorry. I know he has a temper under that highly controlled persona. I read his book, and I have only admiration for how he has risen above so many obstacles in his life to become a truly great man. But we've got the devil to fight. And Carson does not come across as the man to lead that charge. So that's first. But then it became clear that while he had all the right ideas about what's wrong, he could not articulate a clear plan to make it right, especially in the area of foreign affairs, which happens to be a critical issue of concern right now. He stumbled and frankly fumbled the ball on foreign policy questions early on, and that began his steady decline. Add to this the recent spectacle of major staff changes, financial problems leading to major reductions in his staff. All of these things are signals that his campaign is winding down. Carson is an honorable man. I've said it many times. Any president would be well served to include this man on his team. He should be a cabinet pick, and I think he would make a good VP pick as well, by the way, at least until now. Recently, I'm beginning to change my mind about that. And it's very sad. I mean, it's truly sad to see an honorable man get soured and start making goofy moves. You know, not that I think he has no basis for being concerned about someone jumping the gun and insinuating he was out before he made the decision. You know, the chances are very good that he was going home to ponder that very question. I mean, no serious candidate takes a time out after a trouncing. No way. He pours it on, doubles down. He might have wanted to take a few days to rethink his campaign strategy, but not to go home for R&R and get a change of clothes. I mean, it sends all the wrong messages, and no one can be blamed for hearing that and speculating that it singled a rap on his roadshow. Nevertheless, Carson certainly has a legitimate beef with whoever leaked this story or put out this insinuation. So, I rolled up my sleeves and dug deeply into this, and at the bottom line, here is the deal. Truly, here it is. No kidding. I'd be really ticked off, too. I would probably direct my concern a little more carefully, but I'd be concerned, and I'd take some action, but at the end of the day, it's his own fault. I know, but truly, it is. And this goes to a question of leadership and whether he has what it takes and what this whole debacle says about Cruz, but I'm out of time for the first segment, so hold on to the break. I'll be right back.
You know, we've never had a better opportunity to get a genuine conservative in the White House. But which of these candidates should receive the Christians' vote? We have got to have someone who will close our borders, stop this insane deal with Iran, and address this crushing debt. And we must have someone who has the sense to know the government has no business being in bed with Planned Parenthood, selling baby parts and cannibalizing infants. We must have someone who respects the Constitution and the laws of this land and individual freedoms. And I'm talking gun rights. But it's got to be someone we can trust. But how do we see past the showmanship and hear through the noise? Come Sunday night, 6 p.m. at the Lighthouse, when Pastor Scheibach will show you how to use the light of God's Word to expose the heart of these candidates.
Warning, Pastor Scheibach is not politically correct, and even more shocking, he is a Christian who uses the word God and prays in Jesus' name in public. Lighthouse Baptist Church, 1310 West Betteravia Road, Santa Maria. Go to santamarialighthouse.org. Stand by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Jerry Scheidenbach, pastor at the Lighthouse, your brain masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, singling "The Enemy is on the March," an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. Did Cruz lie? Did he cheat? Can we no longer trust Cruz since he has lowered himself to chicanery to win in Iowa? Well, I decided that somewhere out there should be a detailed analysis of this issue so those concerned about it can have a resource that pulls together all the facts, sorts it out, and explains it definitively. So here goes. I ran down how this originated. That's pretty old news right now. I studied all the relevant tweets and looked over all the yada yada back and forth about this whole mess. It all started when a CNN reporter named Moody tweeted something he heard from the Carson campaign. An unnamed member of the Carson campaign told CNN reporter Moody that Carson would, quote, likely speak at his victory party in Iowa before caucus results are in so he can catch a flight, end quote. And that was at 4:41 p.m. February 1st, caucus day in Iowa. 2 minutes later, Moody tweeted, quote, Carson won't go to NHSC, that's New Hampshire, South Carolina, but instead will head home to Florida for some R&R. He'll be in D.C. Thursday for the National Prayer Breakfast, end quote. Now, that particular tweet was retweeted 195 times. Now, for the sake of clarification, I'm going to refer to this particular tweet as the insinuating tweet, okay? It insinuates that Carson's dropping out. Doesn't say that, but the implication is there. Some of those receiving this retweet inferred from it that Carson was throwing in the towel, and that is not an unreasonable take on it, even though it is speculative and certainly is inferential, but it's not unreasonable. Okay, so before you shout me down, let me quickly add that, yes, a campaign operative ought to be more careful about jumping to such conclusions. Agreed. So, still listening? Good, because it's going to get very clear for you in a moment. To the fact that the tweet does insinuate something is going awry with the Carson campaign, add this. Anyone familiar with the course of Carson's campaign leading into the fight for Iowa would find such news to be, well, almost confirmation of what was beginning to be speculated by some already, and that is that the Carson campaign was in trouble. Do you understand how tweeting goes, by the way? You know, you throw something out there and people run with it, and then you tweet something next, and taken together with your first tweet, it would have clarified things and avoided misunderstanding. However, you understand that by now, the tweeter world is gone. I mean, it runs fast. So those who might have an interest in drawing the inference from this tweet that it signaled Carson was getting ready to quit are all over this like smell on perfume. And many of them are responding to a retweet, not to the original tweet where they can see the next one. They're just looking, you understand? So they very likely never saw the follow-up tweet. So even though Moody, within the same minute that he sent the aforementioned insinuating tweet, sent out a second tweet that said, quote, Ben Carson's campaign tells me he plans to stay in the race beyond Iowa, no matter what the results are tonight, end quote. Now, that was almost immediately after the aforementioned insinuating tweet. Now, this follow-up tweet got 95 retweets. Catching on? The first one got 195. Now, that means about 100 of those who caught that first tweet very likely did not see the second one, and they were already running off on that first tweet. You understand that these retweets were seen by hundreds who only saw the insinuating tweet in a retweet. So they would not even know about the follow-up. Are you hearing me? All right, guys like Tegan Goddard of Political Wire, who at 4:45, a few minutes later, having received the insinuating tweet, tweeted, quote, It sounds like Carson's campaign is near quitting time. Cruz must be dying that he waited until now, end quote. See, it's already beginning to happen. Now, forgive me, but I did not think it necessary to track down how many retweets of the retweet there might have been. But you begin to get the picture. At the same time, Goddard of Political Wire is drawing the understandable inference from the insinuating tweet. Others are chiming in. Selena tweets, quote, at real Ben Carson, not going to New Hampshire nor South Carolina, instead heads home to Florida, then Washington per at Jake Tapper, and so on. So apparently Selena picked this up from another CNN reporter named Jake Tapper, who has taken very serious offense, by the way, to being implicated in all of this mess, and has been very vocal in his effort to blame it all on Cruz. The only tweet I find from Jake Tapper was sent at 4:46, about a minute after. And in that tweet, Tapper said, a quote, at Real Ben Carson, heading home to Florida after Iowa to rest and be with family, not going directly to NH or SC at Moody Reports. So obviously Jake tells us he got his information from fellow CNN reporter Moody. It all got started with Moody's insinuating tweet that was followed up by an explanatory tweet. And apparently Jake got both of them. And so he had a clear idea of what was going on. Meanwhile, at the same time, at 4:46 p.m., another tweeter steps into the conversation. And MJ Lee responding to how another CNN reporter reacted to the news that Ben Carson will head home after Iowa. Quote, if you want to be POTUS, you don't go home to Florida, end quote. All right. And another tweeter responds to these CNN reports. Somebody called Smear Konish or Smear Konish. Anyway, quote, Carson not going to New Hampshire, says CNN. Cruz no doubt wishing he'd already packed it in, putting his Iowa votes in play, end quote. There's another tweeter who inferred from the full news put out there by CNN that it looked like Carson was packing it in. About this time, a formal statement comes from the Carson campaign denying the rumor that he is dropping out of the race and explaining that he merely wanted to go back home to get a fresh set of clothes. I mean, he couldn't have some clothes delivered, or he couldn't get those he had with him laundered in Iowa or New Hampshire. This is lame. But this was the official Carson campaign statement. In about 10 minutes, you know, we can go through this, and it's going to make you all go crazy. The same kind of thing develops here. But let's go to where the Cruz campaign gets into this mess, all right? At 5:19 p.m., Iowa Representative Steve King, who endorsed Cruz, cops on the tweets and then sends out his own tweet saying, quote, skipping the NH and SC is the equivalent of suspending. Too bad this information won't get to all caucus goers. 1 minute later, he followed this up with, quote, Carson looks like he's out. Iowans need to know before they vote. Most will go to Cruz, I hope, end quote. So King referred to Moody's tweets in a link, by the way, providing a link there, where anyone interested could have followed that link and seen all of Moody's tweets. And here you see, Steve King isn't saying that Carson has said he's dropping out. Steve King is offering his take on what CNN is reporting. It is clear that Moody, who originated this breaking story, also thought it meant Carson was contemplating quitting the race. That's why he followed up and got clarification from the Carson campaign and was told that Carson intends to stay in the race. Steve King obviously read between the lines here and decided this signaled to him that Carson was backing out, getting ready to wind down. Steve King put out the word, and there's little doubt that this rumor went out there and was circulated by many, including Rubio's campaign. That's right. Rubio's such a hypocrite, but we'll get into that perhaps later. An avid supporter of Rubio, one who obviously follows Rubio's campaign closely, whose name, ironically, is Conrad Close, tweeted at 6:29 p.m., quote, Rubio campaign pushing the narrative hard that Carson is dropping out, obviously looking to pick up votes from Carson, end quote. Now, you can't find that tweet anymore posted on the internet. It was scrubbed. But I happen to have copies of it available if you want to see it. And it makes perfect sense. If Rubio's campaign heard the same thing King heard, it makes sense that they would surmise Carson is getting ready to drop out of the race, because that's what it sounds like. According to what we hear from Carson at present, well, they were wrong. Okay, but it sure suggested that. Carson actually only has himself to blame. What a brain-dead thing to do in the middle of a hot contest. To declare he's not going on to New Hampshire or South Carolina, but instead he's going to go home to get a fresh set of clothes? All right, folks, what's my sentence on the Carson controversy? Well, I think it's obvious that Carson has been on the decline for some time now. It's a long and, I would say, painful swan song. But he has been falling farther and farther behind. There have been major upsets in his staffing, financial troubles. I mean, his campaign has been wobbling for a while, and many of us have been expecting him to join Santorum, Huckabee, and Paul and announce that he's packing it in. It was a major misstep for him to announce he is not going on to New Hampshire and South Carolina, but rather going home to rest and to get a fresh set of clothes. Every seasoned campaign manager would know that sends a very bad signal, and he was not well served by his advisors. Every savvy campaign watcher would read into that, and that's what has happened. Did Steve King jump on this for advantage? Probably. I mean, he sure saw in it something hopeful for his own candidate. Look, let's set the record straight, however. King did not say that Carson has said he's packing it in. King said that, in his opinion, declaring that you're not going to go on to New Hampshire and South Carolina, but going home instead, is tantamount to suspending your campaign. If someone said, you know, hey, Carson looks like he's out, well, that's a legitimate opinion based on what Carson said he was doing. And both campaigns, Cruz and Rubio, possibly even Trump, Trump's campaign, benefited from this rumor. At the end of the day, Carson should take responsibility for this and mark it as a learning moment. You don't send out a message that you're retreating. Taking time off from a campaign that is losing is a losing strategy. It's also a learning moment for Cruz and Rubio. Don't give your enemy a stick to beat you up with. Verify, verify, verify. Indeed, someone from the Cruz campaign should have called the Carson campaign directly and reached out. That would have been classy. So, okay, Cruz has apologized and has been responding to this, I think, appropriately when he's being challenged. You know, do you think what you did was sleazy or whatever it is that they're saying to him? His response is, look, if I repeat something you guys say, you know, CNN in this case, if I repeat it, is that a low blow? Is that doing the wrong thing or something? And that's a good response. But Carson ought to accept the apology and own his own responsibility for the rumor getting started in the first place. Look, if he thinks he would have won Iowa, he's dreaming. He landed only slightly above where he was in the polls going in. He needed 25K to tie with Rubio at third. That's 25,000 plus. If Carson cannot see that, he's not as bright a guy as I thought he was. Carson landed pretty close to where he was in the polls going into the Iowa caucuses. He would not have won anyway, and it's really unlikely that enough votes would have been divided between Cruz, Rubio, and Carson to have given Trump the win. In other words, Carson ought to be more glad Trump did not win than he is angry that Cruz did, you know, because he wasn't going to win anyway. He says he's against the establishment candidates. Well, in my opinion, Trump and Rubio are about as establishment as you can get while pretending to be otherwise. I'll tell you what disappoints me the most about all of this. I've been hoping that Cruz and Carson would get together, join forces, and push Trump and Rubio out. As for Trump, what a jerk. If it's true that he would have won if this rumor had not been circulated, well, that means he knows that he's the loser in the long run. It's an admission on his part that he does not have the Cruz, Rubio, or Carson votes. Put those three together, and Trump's dumped. See what I mean? In other words, Trump evidently believes that all Carson votes go to Cruz, not to him. See what I mean? Trump evidently knows that he is benefiting from the conservative vote being divided between Cruz, Rubio, and Carson. At some point, we must hope that their support will coalesce behind one of these three in order to dump Trump. Cruz, simply, and as a matter of fact, is the strongest candidate of the three. A Cruz-Rubio ticket would look good. Now, if you're interested in understanding what's going on in these primaries from a biblical perspective, go to our website and download or listen online to my two messages, Wisdom for the Right. Part one, being wise in our generation, and part two, turn us, O God. If you want to know whether there is any biblical basis for us to pray in faith for a genuine Bible-believing Christian leader to be elected to the presidency, well, you'll want to listen to these two messages. So go to www.santamarialighthouse.org, pass your mouse over the Resources menu button across the top of the page, move your mouse down to Sermons, a pop-up menu will appear, find Issachar Report, and click on that, and you'll find the messages in there. Now, this Sunday night, I'm calling on all God and country patriots to come pray with us for this election at 6 p.m. Sunday night. I have lit the lamps in the church belfry arch, and now you let me know you see that they are on. Call 1-888-770-8000. That's 1-888-770-8000, and leave a message for me in our listener response hotline. Or you can go to thebrainmassageshow.com. That's thebrainmassageshow.com, and write an email message to me. God bless you, my dear friends. God save America. And I'll see you in church.
Lighthouse Baptist Church, 1310 West Bedaravia Road, Santa Maria. Go to santamarialighthouse.org. For a complete brain massage experience, tune in Saturday at 12 noon